The title of this session, you really don't need your notebooks. The title of this session is Rising Up to Take the Lead on Campuses in a good coordination with the church. And just to give you a brief run through about what we're going to do, I'm not going to be the only one speaking. I'll just start it off and mainly emphasize this matter of rising up on the campuses. And then some students will come and give their testimonies, two students, about their experience of rising up on the campus. And then after that, we're going to have some sharing emphasizing that in that rising up, there's a need for a good coordination, not only among yourselves to be coordinated with one another and be related with one another, but also with the homes, with the full-timers, with the church. Everything we're doing is for the church. So to begin, I would just like to read three verses to you all. And when we hear this word rising up, a number of things may come up within us. But anyways, I hope this would address one of the things that may come up within us. So this is Jeremiah 1, verses 4 through 7. It says, "Now the word of Jehovah came to me, Jeremiah, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you came forth from the womb, I sanctified you. Amen. I have appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Amen. Then I, Jeremiah, said, Alas, Lord Jehovah, indeed, I do not know how to speak, for I am a youth. But Jehovah said to me, Do not say, I am a youth." When you hear the word rising up to take the lead on campus, do not say, I am a youth. Amen. So the second verse, set of verses is 1 Timothy 4, verse 12 and verse 14. These should be familiar. If anyone knows it, you could say it along with me. 1 Timothy 4:12. "Let no one despise your youth, but be a pattern to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity." Verse 14, "Do not neglect the gift which is in you." Do not say, "I am a youth." Do not neglect the gift in you. Let no one despise your youth. And the reason I would like to start with these verses is because whenever the Lord does something new among his people, or whenever the Lord is going to change the age, he always looks to the young people. This is a principle we see in the Bible. This is also a principle that has been born out of church history. And to consider a few names in the Old Testament, think of Daniel with his three friends. Think of Samuel in the New Testament. Think of the Lord's apostles. You can also think of Timothy. But you might think, why would the Lord do that? Whenever he wants to do something new, whenever he wants to begin a move, he always looks to the young people. Why would he do that? I'd like to give you three reasons why the Lord operates in this way. The first reason is young people receive things rather easily. That's the first one. The second one is young people, and when I say young people, I'm referring to you all, college students. Don't be offended by the term young people. Young people are not as occupied as older people. I think that's pretty evident. Most of you guys aren't in here. You're not married. You don't have children. You don't have many financial situations that you need to worry about. I believe most of us are very unoccupied. And the third reason is this. Even if older people are not occupied with old things, it is not easy for them to know or be trained in new things. Three reasons why the Lord operates in this way. So we need to see that we can't just, the Lord doesn't carry out his move among all people generally. The impact of any move, even if you consider human society, is with the young people. And a familiar recent event that took place in human history is if you consider the Arab Springs, which took place last year during the spring. that movement was initiated mainly by the social media, which is dominated by the young people. So really, that move was carried out by young people, and those young people successfully overthrew long-standing regimes in their countries. The key component to that move among them was that the young people initiated it, started it, and carried out. Well, there's moves in human history, but the Lord also has His move. And His move is mainly taking place on college campuses. Where are the young people today that the Lord would be interested in? They're sitting in your classes. They're you. The Lord is interested in you. The Lord wants to move among you. But in order to move, He needs us to rise up together with Him. So that being the case, the Lord, whenever He's going to do something new, He looks to the young people. The impact of any move is with the young people. And we see the three reasons why the Lord operates in this way. So I just have a question for you all. Who would you say is the best person or the best ones to go, knowing this, who is the best one to go and contact them? I can't hear you guys. It's pretty weak. Still pretty weak. Okay, how about the freshmen stand up? All the freshmen. Knowing this, you're going to meet a lot of 18-year-olds, right? Most of you guys are probably 17, 18, maybe one or two, 19, I don't know. 16, hallelujah, brother. 16-year-old brother right there. The Lord, He always looks to the young people whenever He's doing something new. The impact of any move is with the young people. Amen. Young people are not occupied. It's easy for young people, you all, to learn new things. So, who do you think going on these college campuses is the best one to contact these students? You guys are looking at me, you're like, that guy's probably the best one. You're like, well, maybe last night, if that brother who shared here about repenting for losing our first love, if he went on campus and shared like he did tonight on the campus there, he's probably the best one to go do it. I'd like to share with you all the principle. The most effective way to contact someone is to contact someone who is our own age. You guys are the best ones to contact the people on your college campuses. You guys can sit down. How about the others? Stand up. Everyone who's not a freshman. So most of you all have been on a college campus. What have you been doing with your time? Okay. These freshmen, they're incoming. Hopefully, I believe many of you, if not all, you guys have some feeling about your campus. You've probably already been touched by this word. You're hearing it again. I hope the Lord would touch you again. That the Lord wants us to rise up to meet His need on the college campuses. So I believe many of you are probably having coordination with one another to carry out how best to do that. And you're not alone, right? You're with the other saints, probably maybe full-timers, maybe with other saints who are in the church, in the homes, coordinating together. What is the best way we could do this? Well, I would just like to say to you that you all need to be a pattern. You guys have actually, whether you realize it or not, already set a pattern of what it means to rise up. And so these incoming freshmen are going to come to your campuses, and who do you think they're going to look to when they consider this word about rising up? They're not going to look to me. I'm up here speaking. I'm like, you guys need to rise up. Amen. But nobody's really listening to me. Everybody, I'm serious. Nobody's listening to me. They're going to listen to you. They're looking to you. They're not looking to me. Amen. You guys need to rise up. Amen. You guys need to take the lead. Amen. Set the precedent. What does it mean? Even what does it mean to you to rise up? Does that include morning revival? I hope so. Bible reading? I hope so. Praying in the meetings? Amen. Prophesying? Amen. Preaching the gospel? Amen. I hope so. When you think rising up, don't just think getting stirred up. We have to be practical. To rise up, don't despise your youth. Amen. Don't look to the full-timers. Don't despise your youth. Amen. You have to rise up. Amen. You have the gift of God in you. Amen. Don't you have the Spirit? Amen. The divine life within you? Amen. Oh, we need to exercise the gift. Amen. Okay, we could all sit down. Thank you, thank you. But still, even after all this, we may consider, however convincing it may be. Right? So, well, I don't know. You know, I don't know about this. You know, I don't like this idea of rising up. Sure, no problem. You know, I want to share with you some things from the ministry and even something from my own testimony about this matter of rising up. Because really, I'm not here to stir you guys up. And I hope you guys wouldn't get excited and think, oh, you know, in the college training, they're trying to get us excited to go back and carry out some work on our campus. Actually, that's not what we're trying to do here. Maybe, I would say, in relation to that word last night, we don't have too much feeling about this because we may not have too much feeling about what is on the Lord's heart. This is not on my heart, per se. This didn't originate with me. This is the Lord's move. The Lord carries out His move primarily among the young people. That's a principle in church history, in the Bible. That's how the Lord operates. We need to have some feeling about this. The Lord is looking to the college students. He's looking to the high school students. Maybe even the junior high, but you guys are here. He's looking to you. He's speaking to you this whole week. Rise up. These are the things that are in my heart. So we may not be touched by them because we may not be so close or care for what is in the Lord's heart. And so I'd like to bring us back to that word tonight, especially the freshmen. You may be going onto campus and hear this word and you see your other students rising up. You're like, I want to go hide. I was going to live in corporate living. I'm going to look to live in the dorms. You know, you might be thinking all kinds of things. Hold on. These things are on the Lord's heart. We just might be focused. Our focus might be on other things. You know, Brother Craig last night, he brought up, you know, the Lord, per se, and then these other three people representing three different things. Oh, my degree. Oh, this. Oh, that. Right? So our heart may be turned toward other things. But what we need to do, we need to turn our heart to the Lord. So really, when we talk about rising up, we're saying we need to turn our heart to the Lord, to care for what is on the Lord's heart. And to turn is actually to repent. It's to confess. And also, not only to do that, but to consecrate ourselves to the Lord. If you look at Daniel and you look at Samuel, these were two consecrated vessels to the Lord. And because of that, the Lord was able to use them. Now I just, less than 2 minutes, I'd like to give a little personal testimony. So when I was 16, it was 2000, the summer, Wednesday night, I was here, Occidental, California, and the God of glory appeared to me. We were down there in the tabernacle. We were singing hymn 1325. There was a serving brother. It was a summer school of truth. And before the meeting, I had no idea what I was saying, but I told him, I said, brother, this meeting, I want to sit by you because I want to touch my spirit. I grew up in the church life. I heard about this, but I had never really touched my spirit. And in that meeting, for whatever reason, I found my human spirit. Hallelujah for our spirit. Amen. When you touch your spirit, there's no going back. So the next, you know, I thought that, you know, and really it's the case. I was like, wow, you know, I'm there's no going back, you know. Anyways, when I got home, I got on a roller coaster. Began a roller coaster ride, which many of us are very familiar with the highs and the lows. You go home, you know, things quickly die out and you're doing whatever, and then you come back, and then you get a rise again on this roller coaster. You're at the peaks. Hallelujah. And so that went for 2 years, this roller coaster. And so I would say by the time I was 18, ending my high school years, I was pretty discouraged Christian. I would even say hopeless and not be exaggerating. I was also disappointed with the church life, and I was also ready to leave. And so I decided, you know what, I'm tired of this. I'm going to join the Marine Corps. I'm going to get myself as far away from the church life, even from my family, from everyone who cares about the Lord and the church life, because frankly, I was angry with him for these experiences that I had been having. But lucky for me, the Lord had mercy on me. And actually, the Lord had a different direction from my life. And ending that, going into that summer, I wasn't scheduled to go to boot camp until later in like October. My mom would always make us go to the summer training, and I went to the summer training. The Lord began to touch me, began to work on my heart. Saints were praying for me. And then I went to the college training, and it was really here at the college training that I really got refreshed by the Lord. And the Lord came and visited me again. And then after that, I went on a camping trip with some brothers. And then after that, I was really realizing, wow, the Lord really has a different direction for my life. He really wasn't going into the Marine Corps. And so actually, I feel I should probably go to college, so I should go down to school. So I decided I was going to come down to Riverside Community College and live with my aunt and uncle down there. And so the fourth thing, before coming, I went to a summer school of truth. And this is really what my point is in that summer school of truth, again, I remember being there after a meeting. It was an awesome meeting. And I remember laying down on my bed and just, the Lord was just so sweet. And I was just calling on His name, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. And I just remember He came to me again. And then this time, I just got so touched for my sins. Convicted me of my sins. I just in tears repented to the Lord of all the history that I had with away from Him. And after that, I do believe, although I don't have any exact recollections, I do believe I consecrated myself absolutely to the Lord. And so when I went to college, there was not a need for anyone to stir me up or to say anything. There was a desire within me. Lord, I love You. Lord, I'm not for these earthly things. Lord, I like to have some profit for You, make some interest for You on my college campus. So without anyone saying to me, I joined eventually with another brother. We would go, we would speak the gospel, and we would do many things. But the point of this testimony is when we hear this word rising up, we need to go to the Lord. We need to repent, confess our sins, turn our hearts to Him, and consecrate ourselves to Him. We don't need to just do this once, every day on your college campus. To be revived, to stay fresh, to have this burden within you, you need to go to the Lord every day, confess your sins, and consecrate to Him. And two students are going to come up right now and just share their experiences of how the Lord touched them to rise up on their college campuses. That's Josh and Debbie.
Hi, my name is Josh, and I just finished my second year at UCI. I'm a church kid, and after 18 years, finally, I was in college. And I saw this time as a time to escape, finally live life a little, you know. So then, the brothers can testify that I was MIA almost all of that year, but the Lord never gave up on me. Amen. I didn't show up to any of the weekly meetings except for one home meeting, and I went home for the weekends. Whenever the brothers would text me, I would just make up an excuse so I wouldn't have to go. After almost 2 years, I finally gave student coordination another chance, and I started to see why it was so important. Without this coordination time, no one would know what events to plan and what the situation was like on the campus. You would ask, why would anyone want to spend a Monday night coordinating for some future campus event? Why do I even care? We care because this has to do with the Lord's move on the campus. We have to have this vision of God's economy. We can't just say, oh, we don't matter. Someone else will coordinate. Someone else will pray at their prayer meetings. Someone else will preach the gospel. The campus work is not for the full-timers or the serving ones. The campus work is for the students. And if everyone has this indifferent attitude, then we are despising our youth and neglecting the gifts spoken of in 1 Timothy 4:12 and 14. If we all have this attitude, then the Lord will not be able to move on our campuses. We all have to see this campus work as our obligation so that the Lord will be able to have a presence in all our campuses.
Hi, I'm Debbie, and I just graduated. So 4 years ago, when I was a freshman, I was living with the sisters, and it was really easy for me to just get involved on the work on campus. And so I participated and helped with many of the events. But towards the end of the year, I was not satisfied with what I was doing because I didn't know what I was doing it for. I knew all the work was for the Lord, but to me it was just busy work. so I didn't have a burden for the Lord to move on campus. However, my heart changed during my second year, and what caused the change was my times of prayer with the students during coordination. I practiced exercise to join myself in prayer with the Lord and with the students and the full-timers. And mysteriously, the burdens on the Lord's heart were duplicated onto my heart. The more I prayed, the more I saw what God was doing in the dorms, with my friends, or even just the friends of the students. And the more I saw this, the more burdened I became. And out from this burden, my work for the Lord for the next 3 years became so sweet and so enjoyable. The title of this message is Rising Up to Take the Lead. I feel like all of us need to have an experience, an inward experience of rising up. The Lord can do anything when our heart is indifferent. So let us pray ourselves into God. Amen. Let Him infuse His heart into our heart.
Amen.
Amen. One last thing I appreciated was the patterns that I had. I learned so much from those who were before me. They may not know it, but I observed everything that they did. I observed how they prayed, how they fellowshiped and coordinated, what they did and what they spoke. During my freshman year, I was roomed with two sophomores. And one morning, one of the sisters woke up, and she started calling on the Lord. And I had the feeling she wanted me to call with her, but I was so tired. But she didn't give up. She just kept calling. And eventually, I gave in. I really appreciated her, and she was such a pattern to me. I realized that the patterns are not limited to the older ones, though. Last year, I was so encouraged by the juniors, the sophomores, and even the freshmen. Everybody, including the incoming freshmen, be a pattern in the Lord. Do not despise your youth.
How about let's declare the title together? Rising up to take the lead on the campuses in a good coordination with the church. Rising up to take the lead on the campuses in a good coordination with the church. We need to realize that our God, the eternal God, has an intention. His intention is to share Himself with us. To be our life, also to be our life supply. So He wants to be our life and our life supply. Even physically speaking, when we were born, we received the life from our parents. But this life needs to maintain this life. In order to maintain this life, the baby needs sunshine, needs air, water, even proper dwelling place, and also bread, food. And all these items mentioned in Gospel of John. Even the Lord Jesus, not only He's our life, but He's our life supply. What does it mean that He's our life supply? In John 1:4, He says, He is light of man. He is our light. He is our sunshine. And in John 20:22, when the Lord Jesus appeared to His disciples after He resurrected, and He breathed into them. He is the living air. And He also said in John 6, He is the bread of life. And in John 7, we see that He is the living water. And in John 14, He is our dwelling place. Amen. Praise the Lord, He is our life supply. So, for us, in Gospel of John, He charged us to do two things. According to John 15, to bear fruit, and John 21:15-17, to feed His lambs. And in John 15, he said, I am the vine and you are the branches. As the students, as we rising up in our campuses, I just want to refer to you from yesterday. In John 15, the branches, how the branches bear fruit. The source is in the vine. The branches are abiding in the vine. And how do we enjoy the Lord? How do we abide in the Lord? He is, where is He? He is in our spirit.
Amen.
And what does it mean to bear fruit? As a branch, what does it mean to bear fruit? Dear saints, we have the life of God in our spirit. And our responsibility, when we enjoy the Lord, we need to pass this life to the unbelievers, to our peers. So when we preach the gospel, when they receive the life of God, they become the fruit that we bear. And not only so, they need the life supply. They need the feeding. And in John 15, the Lord says, I am the vine and you are the branches. So within each one of us has the desire to preach the gospel. And we are burdened, but we don't know how. One thing we can do, we can join ourselves. We can pray to the Lord. Lord, grant me a companion. Or join myself to another student. Remember, the Lord did not say, I am the vine and you are a branch. He said, you are the branches. And for this, we need to form a nucleus. And how do we form a nucleus? It starts with us as individuals who are burdened to bear fruit. So this cannot be accomplished us as an individual. But surely we have the burden. So we join ourselves. Initially, we may the Lord lead us to one student who share the same interest, the same burden. We pray for one another. And then out of this prayer, a third one will be added. Because the goal for this coming together is to increase, to bear fruit. For now, how about I call Cephas. He will share his testimony. He was so burdened, he went to the Lord. The Lord burdened him. And the Lord led him.
Amen. So I guess I'd like to echo Enosh and Brother Robert here, that we need to rise up and take initiative. After seeing these past couple of days where we are in history, seeing that God wants a building, that He will build His church, and that He needs a young group of overcomers to complete the building work, how can we not show strength and take action? May we really bring this to the Lord. But, I really wanted to share my experience on forming a vital group. So 2 years ago at UC Irvine, the Lord brought me and my brother Joe Yu here together. And we really became vital companions ever since then. And I consider a vital companion one who you can see eye to eye with, who has the same heart, burden, vision, and even daily practice as you. So we came together to do 4 things. Number 1, open to one another. Number 2, get into the ministry, particularly entering into the practice of the God-ordained way and the vital groups. Brother Lee said this is what will consummate the age. The vital groups, the practice of the God-ordained way, all that we're getting into this weekend is what will bring the Lord back. 3rd thing is fellowship, intimate and thorough fellowship, concerning one another and concerning others. And 4thly is much and thorough prayer. So through these things, the goal, as our brother Rob shared, is to bear fruit. So last year, on spring quarter, our dear brother Kevin, he was brought into our group. And what did we do? Same thing, open to one another. We read, got into the ministry, we prayed, we fellowshiped. And the issue of abiding in the vine is to bear fruit. So this past year, the Lord added to our group some more, some of which are here, like David Hong, Orlando, Josh, Alan Beckman, he's not here. But anyways, the Lord just started to add. He started to add. And it just became so rich. And I would say the 2 goals of this group, of this nucleus, is number 1, I would say duplication. Initially, when you bring someone in, that person is not the same as you. It might be a new one. It might have been started off as an unbeliever, a lukewarm church here, whatever it may be. But the end goal is for duplication. This person ends up being the same as you in heart, vision, burden, practice. You don't need to tell them to preach the gospel. He's preaching the gospel. You don't need to tell them to have morning revival. He's having morning revival. And in that way, we're duplicated. And it's just cellular, what is it? Mitosis in the body of Christ. If we see this, it's beautiful. And ultimately, multiplication. Our group is getting too big. So this year, we need to plan on having multiple groups. Smaller is better. Smaller is easier to have fellowship and pray. And smaller is easier to add to. So smaller groups are better. And ultimately, our vision or our view is to have all the students enter into this. Think about it. If all of us started practicing this, and all each of our group picks up one person, two people, it's exponential growth. We will bring a revival to the West Coast. So may we really, really have this vision. And ultimately, it is in this group, in these vital groups, in this nucleus, that we obtain the oneness of the body of Christ. The practical one accord that invites, even commands the Lord's blessing to do above and beyond more anything that we can ask or think. So may we, as Enoch said, go to the Lord, bring it to the Lord, and may He work it out among us.
Praise the Lord. There's a way for all of us to bring our function, but in the context of nucleus. And when we come together as nucleus, as Cephas shared, first they fellowship. Fellowship and prayer. And reading the word and loving one another. And this, it creates an atmosphere of love. And atmosphere, a desire to increase. And spontaneously, each one would have a few names to bring to this nucleus, to pray over it. And the Lord surely will bless this. But all these in the context of nucleus. And do you think, how about if you have you multiplying, it's very effective if we are in a nucleus. However, the Lord charged us in John 15:16. What did He say? I sent you forth to bear fruit, and that your fruit will remain. For us for this fruit to be remain, to be more effective, we need the homes. We need the saints. Ultimately, our labor on the campuses is not for the sake of just work on the campuses. Like last night, Brother Craig shared about what is the goal? What is the goal of our Christian life? Ultimately, to have the testimony of Jesus. This testimony of Jesus is the church. And for that, for us to be effective and for us to see our peers to remain, to be remaining fruit, we need the saints. And of course, as nucleus, you are in control on the campuses. The church, you are not under the control of the church. However, we need the help. We need to seek the saints for help, for fellowship, to have sweet coordination. And the Lord will bless our labor. We're not here just to save soul. We are here to bring many, many students to be part of God's building, part of the Lord's body. And for this to happen, we need to rise up. We need to have a heart for this. If one of us have this heart, we can impart this burden to other peers. At one point, I had nothing to do with the Lord. And someone preached the gospel to me. And I was 20 at that time. Then I became part of the body of Christ. How about I'll call Sarah. Sarah, where are you?
College, I was not planning on meeting very much. I wanted the college experience that everyone talked so fondly about. But the Lord was so sovereign to me, and He showed me that there's no comparison to the enjoyment in the church life and being in the body of Christ. I really saw this when I went on my spring break trip. We went to Georgia, Tennessee, a couple of other states, and I really saw that the body of Christ is something so living. It is not just me in my locality, but it is the whole entire universe. So I saw this, and this, mixed with some personal situations that I was going through, really turned me to the Lord. In my personal situations, I remember the Lord bringing me to tears, and I cried to Him, and I opened to Him, and I asked the Lord to come into my situation. And this is when I really consecrated my college years to the Lord. Oh, and this is when the church life became my church life. It was no longer my parents' church life. And I can testify that I'm the happiest I've ever been in my entire life. And so on my campus, the Lord really blessed me with a companion. Her name is Elsa. And we began pursuing the Lord together. And this pursuing the Lord together showed me the importance of having a personal relationship with the Lord. Oh, this personal relationship is so needed. This personal relationship is what keeps you in the church life. It is not exercising your spirit just sometimes in the meetings, but it is this personal, intimate, affectionate relationship with the Lord. And so this relationship with the Lord led me to have a burden, for the people on my campuses. And on my campus, we have no full-timers. We have one family and two couples and a couple of single serving working ones. Actually, not even serving. They're working. They're not serving. Lord, I mean, they are serving. But anyways, Lord, and me and Elsa, we began to pray, and we began to pray with those in our home meeting, and we kept this book, and it's amazing how many prayers the Lord has answered in this book. There is very few prayers that the Lord has not answered in this book. Oh, Lord, so prayer is so important, and besides prayer, there's this need of shepherding. Oh, so shepherding is what really causes you to grow in life. You know, it's me and Elsa, and we are the only ones who grew up in the church. But if we don't grow, then the new ones behind us don't grow. So we are really patterns to those who are behind us, to the new ones who are behind us. If we don't enjoy something during the week, they don't enjoy something during the week. Oh, so we just really need to enjoy the Lord. Oh, I used to despise growing up in the church life. When I was in high school, I would ask the Lord, why did I have to grow up in the church life? You know, it would have been so much easier for me to have fun in high school if I didn't grow up in the church life. Oh, but growing up in the church life is such a salvation. Oh, this is to have a foundation, to minister life to others. Growing up in the church life is such a sweet salvation. Oh, so don't despise this. Use this to your advantage. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, and so those who are incoming freshmen, this is really the best time to establish yourself. You know, you have no expectations from anyone anymore. No one knows who you are, so you can establish yourself, and you can tell people, oh, this is who I am. I am a sweet lover of Jesus. I'm a crazy lover of Jesus. This is what I do on Friday nights. I go to the home meeting. On Saturday nights, I go to the college meetings. On Sunday mornings, I go to the Lord's table. And if you don't like this, too bad, because this is who I am. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. So, anyways, this is the best time. It really is. And what has really been such a salvation are the homes. You know, the homes are such a great way to gain new ones. Oh, college students are looking for a family. Many of them have come from all over the world, and they don't have a home. But if you bring them to the home meetings, oh, they love this. They love having a family. Lord Jesus. Oh, so it is so important to get into a home meeting. Oh, it's important to get to know the saints, not only in a spiritual way, but also in a human way. Oh, so on my campus, even though it's just me and Elsa, and we're the only church kids, we have about 15 new ones meeting with us. Oh, and next year, this is the first time at the University of Chicago that we'll have a welcome dinner. Oh, so Lord Jesus, and this happened through prayer, shepherding, and meeting with the homes. Oh, this work is for the college students. It is not for the full-timers. Oh, but all of this comes from loving the Lord. Oh, so you just need to love the Lord. Give yourself to the Lord. Open to the Lord. Ask Him to come into every situation. Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We need to pray for them.
Amen. Do you think this is possible on your college campuses?
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The word is to Sarah in John 15:9. And John 15:11, it says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full." She was so happy. The reason we are not joyful because we don't have fruit. For us to be, our joy may be made full, we need to bear fruit. And for us to see our peers to be remaining fruit, we need the homes. And even we see in the beginning of the church life, in Acts 5:42, it says, "And every day in the temple and from house to house," not only in the temple, from house to house, "they did not cease teaching and announcing the gospel of Jesus as the Christ." Dear saints, this is your golden opportunity. And you have only 4 years or 5 years on the college campuses. That's right. That's right. And all these freshmen, all your peers, before they set the course of their life, they are looking for the meaning of their human existence. And you have something that they are looking for. So for us to reach them, we need to give ourselves to the Lord. Enjoy Him, abiding in Him. And join ourselves to other companions. Build up with one another with a view to gain our peers. And ultimately, this is for the Lord's increase. For the Lord to have His testimony. And the goal is the church. And on the one hand, you are in control over the work on the campuses. But don't forget the saints. You need the saints, and the saints need you. And we all are branches in the vine. And this fruit-bearing is not matter individually. It's a corporate fruit-bearing. And for us to make this effective, not only we need to be rising up and even to be in the nucleus, but I hope you would join yourself to homes. You are to be related to the saints and bring all this matter to the saints. You can fellowship with them and they can render the help that you need. And to pray for you, to pray all the names that you have. And this, the Lord will bless this. And our labor is not just me as an individual need to bear fruit. We tried many times. And at the end, we got discouraged. But we are here in a heavenly team. As we were singing, it's the last stanza, it says, in the stream, let us work in the Lord. Our labor should be in the Lord. Amen. We need to be attached to the Lord. We need to have time with the Lord every morning, to be revived every morning. And it says, not only in the Lord, with the church, with the saints, in the light of His Word. Give the Word life supply to the people in need. Dear brothers and sisters, all your peers, they have a need. And you have something to meet that need. With the saints, in the church, with the saints. What happens? Thus fulfilling God's plan in His flow will proceed.